read Psalm 139 to you. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. Sorry, I'm just going to... You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. If I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are never the same to you. And today I want you to know that we are always connected to God. Wherever we might be in this world, on this earth, God is there with us. There's nowhere we can escape from him, and he wants to stay connected with us. Now, sometimes we might think we lose a bit of connection with God, like on our mobile phones. You carry your mobile phone, you can be having a conversation with someone, can't you? You're like going, hello, hello, are you there? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Oh, I've lost them, where have they gone? And you're looking at your phone, it's like so frustrating. They're on the other end going, hello, I'm here, I can hear you. Where are you? I'm here, I'm here. And that moment, I think we've all been there, we've all had that moment on the mobile, and that's exactly what it is. You can lose a bit of connection, but God is always there. He hasn't lost that connection with us, but sometimes we can lose a little bit of connection with him. So today, I want to look at how we can learn and how we can stay connected with God in every situation, wherever we are, and whatever we're doing. So what we're going to do is look at David. And first of all, as we look at David and his life, he knew who God was, and that was his first foundation. When we look at how he was when he was a shepherd in the fields, when he was up there, he would sit in the fields looking after his flocks of sheep. They'd all be around him, but he wouldn't just sit and watch his sheep counting them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 99, 100. Yay, my sheep are here. Or however many sheep he might have in his flock. I was just saying 100. But that wasn't all that he did. He would be there. He would be worshipping and writing psalms and looking at God and looking at creation, just looking at the amazement of who God was. But not only that, he would be meditating on the law of Moses, not just the Ten Commandments, but the whole law of Moses, and understanding just who God was. So he used his time as a young boy really learning about God and learning who he was and building his life on who God was. And he gave him the strength to be able to fight lions, to fight bears, and to kill them off when they came after his sheep. And whatever else might come in his direction, he had the strength to do that. But also, when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king, he went to all the older sons, and there was David out in the field and said, is there any more? Is there another one? And he's like, well, yeah, there's David. He's just out in the field. He's like, go and get him. So in David came, and then he was anointed king because so Samuel could see that what God could see, and that was his character, the character that he had built up while he was in those fields, while he was looking after those sheep, he could see David's character. Now, character is a bit different from personality. Personality, we can all have a lovely personality, we can be wonderful and great, but that is not character. Character is something that we build into our lives, and we can build a godly character. Things like patience, kindness, servant-heartedness, graciousness, self-control, all of these things that we can build into our lives. And that is what David did while he was up in those fields looking after his sheep. And that could be seen by God as he came and anointed him as king. So he came back, he was being anointed as king, and then he went to visit his brothers, and we all know the story of David and Goliath, don't we? There he was, he goes down, his brothers are all fighting, they've got Goliath, the big giant, and he's calling out on these people, just making fun of them for 40 days and 40 nights, really. And along comes David, and when he gets there, he's like, I'm not having this, I'm not going to do that. Like, what is that all about? And these are his words. when he comes to face Goliath. You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now, David was just a young shepherd boy at this time, and he got there. The whole of Israel's army was scared of this bloke, but here comes David, and he's like, who do you think you are? Saying that about God's armies, who do you think you are? You are just this Philistine who is making fun. Don't you know who my God is? Don't you know who their God is? He is the God who is massive. I serve and I honor a powerful God. And you think you can come here and say that? David knew who God was. He knew how big, how powerful, how strong, how amazing God was. How? Because he had been in those fields, looking after his sheep, fighting those lions, fighting those bears, but studying and meditating and looking at who God was, learning about him, worshipping him. And it was built while he was there on those fields, so that when it came to facing that giant, he knew, you're small in comparison to my God. You think you're big, but you're not. And we all know he defeats Goliath. And, you know, what a story. Isn't that amazing? The courage that he had, that he was able to face that challenge. And that can be the same for us. We serve the same big God. We know the same big God in our lives. He is there in exactly the same ways that he was for David. And we can face challenges every day. And there's challenges that do come our way in our situations. But we can know that, you know, I have got that same God that David has. I serve that same God. But I want to just show you a clip of, it's called Harry's, oh, I can't remember what it's called now. Harry's Advent, Harry's Arctic Heroes. It's on a Tuesday night. And what it was is Harry has gone with a group of injured veterans who've been out to war, and they've all been injured and come back, and they've got some of them quite horrific injuries, and they've gone through the systems of trying to build up their strength and build up their courage to be able to go out and do things. And this is part of the story of what they're doing, just to show some people overcoming some of the challenges that they face. Like, how amazing is that? And they have faced challenges. They have got their giants that they are there overcoming. And That is inspiring, isn't it, to see how they can do that. But I want to tell you, we can do that in our lives as well. We have God helping us. It says in Psalm 139, if I can read a little bit more to you, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. We are always connected to God. And how amazing that is, that whatever situations we find ourselves, wherever we are, we can be with him. And Sarah was talking about building wise foundations last week, where you had the foolish builder and we had the wise builder. And this is one of those foundations to build our lives on, just knowing exactly who God is. God is big, he is powerful, and he is with us. And he wants to connect with us and to build our life on that foundation of just who he is and who we are in him can help us and strengthen us and help us to face the challenges and trials that might come our way. Now, after this, you can imagine for David now, going back to David's story, he was in a really good place. Everyone loved David at this point. He just defeated Goliath. He goes out and he gets on with his life and he becomes a great warrior. And everyone's saying Saul kills his thousands, but David, oh, he kills his 10,000s. He is amazing. So everyone is singing his praises. It's really good. Life's brilliant. And then all of a sudden, Saul becomes jealous because he realizes David is going to be king. And his life takes another turn. And he ends up becoming a fugitive and being kind of lost in the wilderness. He goes out there and he can't go home. He's probably a little bit confused. He's been told as a young lad that he's going to become king one day, but what? I'm a fugitive? What is that about? How can I be out here in the wilderness hiding for my life, yet I'm going to be king? And what a strange and unknown time for him. And he would have felt lost and alone, a little bit helpless. Where do you go with this? What does this mean for my life? And through no fault of his own, he found himself in a really hard place and in a really confusing time. And as we know, it can't be a good place to be, can it? It's not a nice place. It's not a helpful place. And sometimes we might find ourselves in those places as well. We might not be on the run. No one might want to take our lives and we have to go and hide in caves up in the mountains. That might not be it. But actually, with our life circumstances of school, work, family situations, we might have some bad news or different circumstances in our life. We might find ourselves in a place that's like a wilderness where we do feel a bit lost and alone and we don't know what's going on. And it can be like the lost sheep. The sheep didn't know he was lost, don't think. I think he was just quite happy. Oh, that's a nice piece of grass over there. I'll go and eat that. And then he goes, oh, that's a nice piece of grass over there. I think I'll go and eat that. And off he goes and he toddles, just eating his grass. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, where's my mates? They're not here. They're not with me. Where am I? And he didn't know he was lost. I don't think sheep actually think like that. It would be quite impressive if they did. But, you know, he was lost. But the shepherd came and found him again. And again, that is like us. God will always find us. He wants to be in connection with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. And David, while he was up in those mountains, in the wilderness, he had a response to God, and this is something that we can really learn from as we look at David. And I'm going to read the psalm. When he gets up into those caves, this is one of the psalms that he wrote, and this is Psalm 57. Again, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm just going to read part of it out to you, and there's a little bit up on the screen there. Psalm 57. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love and faithfulness. And then a little bit later on, it says, be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine all over the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but isn't that amazing? David is up in those mountains in a cave with nothing, leaving everything behind, and even his whole idea of this, I'm going to be king, but I am here. And this is his response to God. He comes and he gets before him. He's so honest and open about his feelings, yet he still comes before him and worships and prays God. And he found a way to worship him, even in his darkest times of being lost in that wilderness. He was able to come before him and say, you know, God, you're still worthy to be praised. You're an awesome God, and my heart is confident in you. It might be a scary time, it might be a hard time, but my heart is confident in you. And what a great place to be for David, to be able to come and say those things. And while he was there, he wasn't on his own. When I say he's alone, he wasn't on his own. He had his brothers came to be with him, and then others came to join him. And again, it's a strange thing, isn't it, that out in a wilderness, he had people come and join him. I don't know about you, but if you see someone in the wilderness, you probably wouldn't want to go and join them. You wouldn't think, actually, I think I'll just leave you there quite happily. But no, they went and they saw something in David. He was an anointed leader. He was able to lead with strength, even in his darkest times, in the times where he was on his own, he didn't know where he's at. His anointing as a leader came through. But not only that, I really believe that they would have seen his worship for God as well. The fact that he was able to, in his darkest times and in his hard times, they was able to say, do you know what? My heart is confident in God. Isn't that amazing? And they would have been able to see his character and his love for God and the fact that he's an anointed leader and then attracted all of these men to him so that he built up his mighty men that went everywhere with him and they were able to defeat lots of things. So we can see that in those places where we look at David and his response, we can see that his response was just to go before God, to spend that time with him, to worship him and to honour him, and to honour him with his actions as well. As we look at David in those times, he had opportunities to kill Saul. There were times where he was in the same cave and Saul was otherwise engaged. And he was able to go and kill him if he wanted to, but David said, no, that's not what God would want. He still honored him with his lifestyle, with the way he lived his life. It wasn't just up here notions of just worshiping and praising God, but actually it came through in his actions and what he did, even in those times when he could have defeated the enemy twice. He said no. And again, it comes from knowing who God is. He kept on learning, and he kept on learning about who God was in his life. And we can do exactly the same thing. To stay connected, we need to learn about the God we're connected with. So reading our Bibles, learning about him, knowing what it is that he does, reading the Old Testament and the New Testament, looking at what Jesus did in his life to show the love and compassion that he has for his people, yet seeing how awesome and big and huge God really is, that he's not just this little God that we might serve, but actually he's absolutely enormous, powerful and amazing. But he can get us out of loads of situations. You see him like parting the Red Sea. How awesome is that? So we can see God working in all of these places. And just to keep looking at the Bible and seeing it, but also learning it as well. In our small group, we've been memorizing different parts of the Bible. I think it was when Julian last spoke, it really challenged us to get to know our Bible more. So we thought, well, I know what we could do. But I think it was Pete Kessel said, why don't we memorize the Bible? We're like, okay, we'll memorize verses. So we started to do that. So yeah, so just so that we don't have to always take our Bibles everywhere, memorize it so you carry it with you wherever you go, so that when you are in those hard times or difficult situations, there's a verse that you know and that it's there and you carry it with you and you can keep on bringing it up. So the next time you might come into a hard place, you're already equipped, you're already there, and it's not going to be as difficult because you know what's going to happen and you've got the support behind you of knowing who God is in that situation as well. And then the second thing I want to look at is the second time David got lost. And this is a bit more of a challenge and a hard one. And that was when David got lost through his sin. And we read the story of when David met Bathsheba. He was supposed to be out at war with the rest of the men, but he chose to stay at home. And as the others were fighting, he glanced across the roof and saw a beautiful woman bathing on her roof. And he fixed his eyes on her and said, I want that woman. So he sent for her. They slept together. And she got pregnant. This woman was married to, I think his name is Uzziah. And and that was it. Like, what a mistake. This is like quite a shock, really. You read all about David. When I was reading this the other day, I was just crying, thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe he did this. It was such a shock, seeing how the rest of his life was so great, and then this happened. And from this moment on, David's life took a change. And I just want to read you what happened afterwards. He tried to hide it. He killed her husband when he sent him back out to war. He desperately wanted to solve the situation, to keep it a secret. But that didn't work out. And this is what happened afterwards. The Lord sent Nathan, this is in 2 Samuel 12, the prophet, to tell David this story. There are two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb and it grew up with his children. It ate from the lamb's man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day, a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his own guests. David was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one who stole it, for having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much more. And it goes on. I'll leave that one there. But Do you know, like, could you imagine? David tried to hide it, but Nathan, because of God sending him, he stood up and brought the truth out. And again, it's easy for us to hide when we do something wrong. It's easy for us to fall back and say, oh no, I'm not gonna see anyone. I'm gonna stay out of the way. I'm gonna just hide, not face up to God and say, no, he won't wanna know me right now. I'm sure he won't. But in those times, I just wanna say, it's remembering Romans 8 and saying where it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. All we need to do is repent, to say sorry, and to turn away from what we've done wrong. That's all we need to do to come back to that place. And however sad that story is, and there was massive consequences to David's sin. There's no doubt about it. You can read it on from, if you read from 2 Samuel 12 onwards, you see what happens to David's family and to David himself for the end of that time. It's hard to swallow, really. But at the same time, he came back into relationship with God. And he wrote, after this, he wrote Psalm 51. And again, I just want to read a bit of it out to you. I know I'm reading a lot of the Bible, but it's just good to hear David's response to God. So it's Psalm 51. If I can find it. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great passion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me for my sins, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. And then a little bit later on, it says, purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sin. Remove the stains of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. I mean, that is a response. After he has sinned, after he has went with Bathsheba, he came before God and he connected with God again. He said he was sorry and he said, God, I don't want to do this again. Create in me a clean heart. It was this cry of his heart to say, just keep on renewing me, keep on helping me, keep on transforming my life that I don't have to do this again. And he kept on just crying out to God in these situations. Whatever situation he found himself in, there was always a cry out to God to say, help me with this, help me get through this. But he also stayed in relationship. He didn't hide. He had these people around him as well. And again, if we find ourselves, if we do, as we all do, we all sin, it says we all fall short of the glory of God. If we find ourselves in those places, I just want to say, don't hide. Don't hide from God and don't hide from church, because we're here for each other. Talk to you. Keep going to small groups. Talk to small group leaders. Talk to the eldership. But don't hide. As leaders, we are here to help you stay connected with God. That's what we want to do. We want to create those connections with God. And if we can help you do that, then that is what we want to do. So I just want to encourage you not to hide away, not to go in on yourself, but actually stay connected so that you can grow in relationship with each other. But also just keep reading, keep worshiping, and just keep looking at David's life, really. You can see exactly what he did and maybe just copy the actions of what he did, talking to God and coming before him. But I just finally, in the last 5 minutes, want to look at how we can honour God and live a life of worship. Now, we can see that David lived a life of worship, and we talk about living a life of worship, but what does that mean? We say worship's not just about singing. It's more than that. It's a lifestyle. So what is it that we do to make worship a lifestyle in our lives? And firstly, it's looking at, as we read and as we learn and as we look in our Bible, we can see God working in that and remembering God in our lives, just remembering as we walk with him that he is there with us, that he is the one who is connected with us at all times, coming back to Psalm 139 again, that we can always know that he is there by our side. But also, it's not just about remembering it, it's doing it as well. As we do what the Bible says, as we do exactly the same as what Jesus did, as we live out that life, that is living a life of worship to God, as we honour him in our words, in our actions, in everything we do, in our lifestyle choices, when we find ourselves in the wilderness, are we going to hide or are we going to say, God, I am here. If I can find something to praise you, I will praise you. I'll praise you because I saw the sun this morning. I praise you because I've got breath in my lungs. But find those things to worship and honour God with the things that he's given you in your lives. We are an incredibly blessed people. We're able to meet here to in freedom, to talk to each other, to worship God in freedom. Isn't that amazing? There's many people in this world who can't do that, and that in itself is a huge blessing. And just to keep fixing our eyes on Jesus as well, to remember that he is with us and to fix our thoughts on him. The verse that Rachel read out, brilliant, wasn't it, to hear that and to fix our thoughts on what is pure and right and true and noble and honourable, all of those things, to fix our thoughts on that rather than fixing our thoughts on the things that go wrong, the things that aren't right, the things that might not be going our way. But actually, let's think on those positive things that God has got for our lives. Let's be those positive people that people want to be around, that people want to spend time with, and they say, God, there's something about that person. You say, yeah, because I've got great things. God is amazing. God is awesome. And do you know Jesus? You know, bring it in. So it's good to do those things, but also it does about singing the songs, reading the Bible, praying, writing a prayer journal or writing a journal about things that are going on in your life. But doing those things, and if you need any CDs, there's loads of worship CDs around. You can get them on while you're cleaning, while you're driving. Listen to the songs, and even the songs we sang this morning, how great are they? They were brilliant, just coming back to saying, God, even in the hardest of times, you are there. And to acknowledge him in the things that we do, build this kind of lifestyle of in the daily routines of our lives that they can weave into everything we're doing so our hearts are fixed on Jesus. And as we do that, we stay connected. We can stay with him, and he is part of us, and we recognize it more that when we can, and it does happen, when we can drift away, we can bring ourselves back and say, God, you're there, and I know you're there, and I'm going to choose in this time to worship you. And it says in Psalm 103:2, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. So in any time, this is a great one to memorize, I suppose, Psalm 103:2, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. In any time, in any situation, there's always good things that he has done for us. And again, I just want to end with Psalm 139. Bring it back to who God is, to what he has for us, and to say in our lives, we just want to worship and honor you. So again, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand, you will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even the darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. So I just want to encourage you this morning, wherever you find yourself, whether you are in a great place, whether you are in the wilderness and you're lost and maybe you didn't even realize you were going in that place, or if there's an element of sin in our lives that you are dealing with, to say, come before God and say, do you know, God, I love you and I worship you and I honor you and I want to stay connected with you. So shall we just pray? Lord, I thank you that we can confidently say that you want to connect with us, that you want to be with us, that you are always there for us. And I just pray this morning that we will choose to do that. We will choose to connect and to worship and to honour you and to love you, Lord. Lord, we just want to thank you for who you are, for what you have done, just how big you are and just how you want to be in relationship, Lord, that you are our Father and that you are our friend, yet you are the creator of the universe and how amazing that is. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.